the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. We've all heard the song, right? Christmas is one of the few times, if not the only time, there's any focus on the angels. Yet the Bible is filled with angels from Genesis to Revelation and everywhere in between. That's why today I'm kicking off a series on angels called Hark. Somebody say Hark. Now, I know that hark is more of an old English term, but if I translated it into current English, today's English, it would be, hey, y'all, watch this. So, hark. Hey, y'all, watch this. We're going to learn about these heavenly beings, okay? A lot of people talk about the devil and demons, but I don't hear much talk about angels. Angels are often overlooked, and even when we read the scriptures, we often, not even realizing, we often pass over the angels. Did you know that after Jesus fasted and was tempted in the wilderness, that angels came and ministered to him there? Did you know that at the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, angels were present? We often overlook angels in the Word of God, and there are right at 300 verses in the Bible that mention angels specifically, and there's 200 more verses that talk about the hosts of heaven. What are the hosts of heaven? They're armies of angels. And if you want me to put it more accurately, angels are God's air force. Can I get an amen? An angel is God's first responder from the wild blue yonder. So today I'm going to give you an overview of who the angels are, what they do, and why it matters. Let me ask you something. In an emergency, what number do you dial? 911, right? In case they got it wrong, tell your neighbor, dial 911. Okay, and when your life is in trouble spiritually, I would encourage you to go to Psalm 911. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Those who trust in God, those who make the Lord their refuge and strength, have a hope like no other. Those who trust in God will never be put to shame. I don't have time to tell you of all the testimonies I've heard of people who held on to Psalm 91 in times of crisis. I could tell you about multiple crew members of the Titanic who were miraculously saved clinging to the promises of God from the 91st Psalm. I could tell you about one night when the Nazis bombed London during the Blitzkrieg and thousands huddled into underground shelters and a little old lady slept quietly in her bed all night long. It's just something about sleeping in your own bed, even when your neighbors are getting bombed and their houses are exploded. And you just got to have your own bed, you know? Houses all around her home were absolutely destroyed, but she came out just fine. When her neighbors found her, they were shocked and amazed, and they asked her what happened, and she quoted Psalm 91. She said, I will not be afraid of the terror by night. Hello. When you're in trouble, go to Psalm 91. Come on, tell somebody, call 911. The problem is not enough people know the promises of God. When you get in a situation, do you already have the Word in your heart? I tell you, as a kid, I was weird, and I was okay with being weird, because the Bible says you're a peculiar people. Now it's just fine with me. I'd print out chapters of the Bible, and I'd tape them to my bedroom door. And every morning, I'd read through it, I'd quote the promises of God, I'd pray on it, I'd stand on it. Amen. When you're in a crisis, Google and Siri will not help you. You better know the Word of God ahead of time. Come on, tell somebody, go to Psalm 911. So I'm going to challenge you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Print out the 91st Psalm and post it somewhere in your house, somewhere where you read it and memorize it and put it in your heart and learn to claim the promises of God and declare it over your family and over your house and over your home. Learn the promises of God before the storm comes. Psalm 911. And if you dial 9111, you'll see one of the ways that God shelters you. Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge hand over you to keep you in all your ways. Come on now, tell your neighbor, now dial 9-1-1-1. Come on, tell somebody else, dial 9-1-1-1. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. But before you go out of here with your binoculars and start looking for angels around every corner, let me give you my first point. Number one, angels operate primarily in the unseen realm. Angels operate primarily in the unseen realm. Angels are spiritual beings. The angels' base of operations is not Los Angeles. It's heaven, right? They operate in the spiritual realm, and more often than not, they're working behind the scenes. Does that mean we never see angels? No. In fact, there are many, many people in the Bible who physically saw angels, but here's something interesting about that. A lot of them saw angels but didn't even know they were angels. They mainly work in the unseen realm, and even when we see them, most of the time, we don't know or realize who they are because angels are never about themselves. They are not self-promoters. They're always pointing people to Jesus, and they're always glorifying God and doing His work. Angels are God's soldiers, but they operate like special forces. They are covert and very often undercover. Billy Graham, in his book about angels, calls them God's secret agents.
Pastor Josh, have you ever seen an angel?
I don't know. Maybe. The Bible says that we have shown kindness to angels unawares. I don't know, maybe. Have I seen an angel? I'm not sure, but I don't have to see to believe. I know they're real because I've seen their work, and I know they're here because the Word of God tells us so. Jesus said in John 20:29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I don't have to see to believe they're real any more than I have to see the donuts before they go in the Krispy Kreme box at the drive-thru. I just know they're there. Number one, angels operate in the unseen realm primarily. Number two, angels worship and glorify God. When we read the Christmas story, the Bible says the angels had church. They were shouting and dancing in Bethlehem. Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Well, the angels know how to shout and dance. Give God glory. Doesn't necessarily say they sing. No offense to Charles Wesley. I like his Hark the Herald song. But the Bible says that they were praising God. The angels were shouting and praising God when Jesus came because they lived to worship and glorify God. Prophet Isaiah, he was a young man in a tough time. Their king had died, and his nation was in crisis, much like our nation is today, in crisis with no leadership. Isaiah 6:1 says this, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's the answer, church. Get your eyes off the crisis. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on Jesus. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So here we have the angelic seraphim, and more on that next week, but they're worshiping around the throne of God, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We see a glimpse of heaven in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Day and night, night and day, they worship around the throne of God crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Angels worship and glorify God, and if they do, how much more should we who have been adopted into His own family, not as servants, but as children of the Most High God. Revelation 5:11 says, "I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's a whole lot of angels. We would call that a bazillion angels. They encircled the throne of living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. They were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory.'" Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, not just the angels, us too, everybody, every creature under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them, saying, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever." Angels worship and glorify God. Number three, angels are sent to protect God's people. We read Psalm 91:11, "For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." We will never know this side of heaven how many times God's angels have intervened to save us and to keep us from harm. I know it's happened in my own life many, many times. Can anybody testify to that in your life? This past week, Amber and Hudson were on the way to school, and they were at a stoplight, and this 18-wheeler came barreling towards them, and Amber said, "I just knew that they were going to run into the back of us and crush us," and at the very last second, that thing went to the right and stopped right beside her. I believe an angel pushed that 18-wheeler out of the way. I don't believe you. I don't care. I've been praising God about it all week long. You ain't going to hinder my praise. I ain't trying to press you. He will give His angels charge over you. You don't believe angels can move cars? If an angel moved Balaam's donkey, an angel can move whatever you're riding on. Amen. He can move a donkey, he can move a Datsun. Amen. He can move a burro, he can move a Bentley. Amen. All right. Hebrews 1:14. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" God sends His angels to protect you, to help you, to minister to you. Somebody asked me, do we all have a guardian angel? Well, we know that angels do guard us. And in Matthew 18:10, Jesus said to the little children, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Okay, so whether we each have a personal angel guard, an angel named Fred to look out for us, I don't know. I can't make a core doctrine of that everybody has an individual angel. I'll tell you why, because some of you need more than one. And you know if I'm talking about you, because some of y'all need about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 35. Amen. And some of y'all are wearing out the guardian angels you do have. Come on. I believe when we get to heaven, the number one word we're going to hear is Jesus, and the number two word we're going to hear is aha. So that wasn't a coincidence. That wasn't a happy accident. Okay, Lord, you sent your angels and you saved me and you kept me from stuff and you even protected me from my own stupidity. We're going to see all those times when it was a divine intervention and we didn't even know it. We're going to see people like, "You look familiar." "No, I'm an angel." "Oh, I didn't know that." Uh-huh. God sends His angels to protect you and help you, and you, child of God, are more blessed than the angels. The Bible says that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. No angel could ever say that. We're more blessed than the angels. I don't know if I've seen an angel, but what I do know is that angels have seen me. You know angels are watching you? The Bible says in 1 Peter that the angels long to look at those things concerning God's people. Angels are here, and they're leaning in, watching us. You know what that means? angels watch you worship. They look at us at amazement and anticipation when we come to worship God because we've got a song the angels can't sing. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been saved. We've been sanctified. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and no angel ever could experience that. We're more blessed than the angels. And I wonder, what do the angels think when they watch you worship? When you come in and you check in your phone and in your pocket, when's this going to be over? Worship is not the warm-up for the Word. This is our time as the redeemed of the Lord to gather and praise the One who saved us and set us free. When we were dead in our sins, He gave us life. We've got a better testimony than the angels. How much more should we worship and praise God? Amen. Angels primarily operate in the unseen realm. They worship and glorify God. They're sent by God to protect His people. And number four, angels make war in the spiritual realm. Angels make war in the spiritual realm. An angel is not just a worshiper. It's also a warrior. And those two are not mutually exclusive. If you read the Bible, the wildest worshipers were also the greatest warriors. Hello. Angels are warriors. They're mighty. Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you fat babies, you dainty ladies with wings. Is that what it says? You mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you servants who do His will. Angels are not chubby babies. That's bad theology. In fact, it's more like idolatry. Because the image of an angel as a chubby baby with wings is a portrayal of Cupid, who is the Roman god of uncontrolled desire. That's wrong on so many levels. Angels are not fat babies, and they certainly are symbols of lust and ungodliness. They are the mighty armies of a holy God. They are not Barbie dolls with wings. They're more like G.I. Joes on steroids. Come on, tell somebody, angels are mighty. Angels are God's fighting force. Let me tell you something. You don't mess with an angel. When King Hezekiah was surrounded by the Assyrian army, one angel took out 185,000 soldiers in one night. One of them. You may not see them, but 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that the things we see are temporary. The unseen realm is eternal. The spiritual realm is far greater and holds far more power than this visible, physical world. Think about Elisha. Elisha was such a good minister, such a good prophet, that the neighboring king of Syria sent his entire military to surround him and obliterate him. Boy, would y'all think it was something else if we were such a good church preaching the gospel and have so much Holy Ghost going on that somebody came and sent an army to try to wipe us out? That's revival right there. Don't put that in the vision statement for 2022. They were surrounded by the Syrian army, and Elisha was scared. He said, "I ain't scared. I ain't scared, y'all." But his servant was. His servant was about to lose his mind. They're about to murder us. Elisha, why are you so calm? And what did he do? He prayed. He said, "Lord, I pray that you open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What did he tell him? He said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Church, it's my prayer that God would open up your eyes and give you the eyes of faith to see that our God is still the Lord of hosts and that He has a mighty army that is greater and stronger than all the forces of hell that come against you. There are only three angels mentioned by name in the Bible. Did you know that? Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, God's messenger angel, and Lucifer, who became the fallen angel, the devil. When Lucifer fell in love with himself and rebelled against God, the Bible says that a third of the stars of heaven, one third of the angels, fell with him. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't meant for people. That's why Jesus came to save us from hell. But if you don't put your trust in Jesus, hell is prepared for the devils and his angels. Don't run with that crowd. One third of the host of heaven fell with the devil, and they became the hordes of hell, the evil spirits, the demons that are wreaking so much havoc in our world today. Listen, this world is full of evil. I don't have to convince you of that, do I? But if my math is right, and it is, if one third fell and two thirds didn't, then God's angels outnumber the devil's 2-1. There is more on our team than on their team. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Come on, if you believe that, tell somebody, "I'm on the winning side." The angel armies are working and warring on our behalf behind the scenes, even when we don't understand what's going on. It happened to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is fasting and praying, and he's doing what he knows is right, and not a stinking thing is changing. Anybody ever been there? For 21 days, he's been praying for his nation, and he's tired, and he's getting weaker by the hour. Nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. It seems like his prayers are not being answered at all. But then on the 21st day, an angel shows up and says to Daniel, "Daniel, your prayers were heard on the very first day. But behind the scenes, a spiritual battle has been taking place." Daniel prayed a prayer that started a war. When's the last time you prayed a bold prayer like that? Daniel was standing in the gap and interceding for his nation and for his people, and God heard him the very moment he prayed. But it started a battle in the spiritual realms. There was an evil spirit so strong over the nation of Persia called the Prince of Persia, fighting against everything he was praying for, that God had to send in the big dog, the archangel Michael, to whoop up on him. God said, "All along your prayers were heard. Maybe you've been praying and nothing seems to be happening. Maybe you've been praying for a lost child or for a marriage that's in trouble and it just keeps getting worse, or a loved one who doesn't know Jesus and they're not getting any closer. You feel like God has not heard your prayers. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning in Jesus' name that God has heard you and He is fighting for you. And when you pray, I want you to remember from the first day that you pray to keep on praying, because behind the scenes a spiritual battle is taking place, because prayer is spiritual warfare. Yes, prayer is worship. Yes, prayer is thanksgiving. Yes, prayer is asking and receiving from God. But prayer is also how we fight the good fight of faith. The warfare is prayer. Prayer is not preparation for battle. Prayer is the battle. So keep praying, child of God. Don't give up, because God hears the prayers of His people. And the hosts of heaven are fighting for you. Those that are with us are more than those who are against us. As believers, the Holy Spirit works in us, right? That's the work of salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That's the anointing and the power for ministry. But it's important to understand that angels are working around us. We're not alone in this fight. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying and weeping before God, getting ready to lay down His life for our sins, the soldiers came to arrest Him and take Him away. And what does Peter do? He jumps up with the sword and just starts chopping everybody. Jesus said, "Peter, knock it off. Put it down. Don't you know that I could call to my Father and He would send more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus could have called down more than 70,000 angels to intervene. Listen, it wasn't the Romans that kept Jesus on that cross. It wasn't the Jewish rulers that kept Him on the cross. It wasn't the nails that held Him to the cross. The love of God is the only thing that kept Jesus on that cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus could have called the hosts of heaven to deliver Him, to take out the Romans, to take out the synagogue rulers. But He didn't do that. I don't know about you, if I was God sitting on the throne, I would have said, "Get Him. Come on, angels." Because they were surrounding the cross. The hosts of heaven were surrounding, ready, sword in hand, to intervene. Why? Because God loved you. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son. When we were at our absolute worst, God gave the very best He could give to save us and to redeem us from our sins. And then 3 days later, after the crucifixion, as His followers came to mourn at the tomb, instead of finding a body in a grave, they found an empty tomb. And there was an angel sitting on the stone that He rolled away. And He said, boys, He's not here. He has risen. Jesus is alive. The angels announced it. The apostles preached it. And the saints of God through the ages have declared it from generation to generation. And that same message of hope that was preached 2,000 years ago is just as real in this room today, right now. Jesus saves. He is your hope. He is your peace. He is the way of salvation. Nobody comes to God but through Him, and He won't turn you away. If you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, lay everything at His feet this morning. Don't fix yourself because you can't. Christianity is not a self-help religion. You want a self-help religion? You follow Buddhism with the 12-step path, and you follow Islam where you follow these rules and pray to Mecca and learn Arabic and all this crazy stuff. Christianity is not about what you can do to be right with God. It's about what Jesus has already done to make you right with God. Jesus paid the price. We are not saved by works. We're saved by faith. This morning, right now, this is your appointed time. Put your faith in Jesus and don't look back. Your life will never be the same. Will you close your eyes for a moment as we seek God? Come on, church, begin to pray and intercede. Somebody's life is in the balance today. Somebody's eternity is in the balance this morning. Father, I pray for those who are present in this room, for those who are listening to this message right now who don't know You. God, I thank You that You love them so much that You gave Your only Son to die for them, to pay the price for their sins. Lord, I thank You that You love them, that You care for them. You know who they are. You know them by name. And Lord, I thank You, God, that You have set up this moment. God, as their day of freedom, as their new beginning, as their new life, God, that You paid the price to wipe away their sins, that there is no sin, there is no guilt, there is no pain that You cannot heal and remove. Thank You, Jesus, for Your loving, saving power. Lord, I pray, God, that You would give them the faith and the boldness, the determination in this moment right now to fully surrender their heart to You. today. And as we pray, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start that commitment to follow Jesus. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I believe in you. You are the Son of God. You are the only way. And I trust my life to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And with your help, I'll follow you the rest of my life. Change my life. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Will you stand this morning and worship and pray out?